They're Papa and Lund, or Greg and John if you want to get personal. Got Google Nest? If so, listen to the sports leader at home. This is KNBR 104.5 at 680.
Hello, friends. Thanks for joining us. Well, afternoon delight. We're going to talk to Marcus Thompson in just a few minutes about hoops, about Hawaii, and about track and field in Paris, which he did a tremendous job of covering. And that goes all the way back to Eugene and the Olympic trials, and he's been on the road with Noah Lyles and the rest of those guys, and that was a story.
Did he get Noah Lyles COVID, John?
I don't know.
Did Noah Lyles have COVID?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's the bigger question.
Whatever.
But anyway, that was a historic 100 meters, so that was that'll be cool. So we'll get Marcus's viewpoint on that. Did you happen to catch the head coach of the Golden State Warriors at the DNC?
And
we're not overly political, but we're just, you know, it was cool seeing Steve do that.
I watched every single speech, and they brought the president out way past. I think he went on at 11:45 East Coast time, and he went for 45 minutes. It was a riveting night, and Obama's going to speak tonight and Clinton tomorrow, and then Kamala will go on Thursday. I watched all of it. From Chicago, the United Center, where Steve Kerr had won a few big games there, mainly at the stadium, though. But anyway, what an honor to speak there. And the first thing I thought of was I hope he has a strong voice, because Steve, even when he was a broadcaster, and I'm sensitive to not having full vocal capacity sometimes in a big moment, a Super Bowl or something, so... He was in full throat last night. His voice sounded great. He strains it a lot when he's coaching, and he does not have a powerful voice. So he's got a little bit of a thin voice, not as bad as Doc Rivers, but he nailed the speech. It was really interesting. Made some, you know, coaching analogies with Kamala's choice for vice president being a coach, and the whole thing was great, and nailed it all the way. They ended, you know, about the night line and Steph Curry. And I thought, you know, I'm sure he did it off the prompter, John. I don't know how much Steve has done that. He's obviously a tremendous public speaker. I was a little surprised he didn't touch on gun control, but he kept it down the middle and stayed in his lane. As you know, he had opinions on what he wanted from leadership, but and he drew analogies to coaching as well and what a good leader is, but his voice sounded great last night. I thought he nailed the speech. He was superb. There were a lot of good speakers last night, though.
Here's a little piece of it at the end. Like you said, you mentioned the nighty night. This is how Steve finished his speech last night at the DNC.
After the results are tallied that night, we can, in the words of the great Steph Curry, we can tell Donald Trump, night night.
That was fairly popular, and then
only time he mentioned his name, which was not the case for many other speakers.
But and he did the Steph Curry nighty night action as well. So, yeah, I'm amazed by him. I'm not trying to endorse or get political or anything like that. All I'm simply saying is that for the head coach of the Golden State Warriors to get up there and, like you said, to be as poised and and be the speaker that he was, and he made references. Obviously, it was cool for him because it was in the United Center. It was in Chicago, and it's in the United Center. So he started off by talking about how, you know, so many special things had been done in that building for him and everything. So that was really, really cool. But Steve, like you said, nailed it last night from Chicago. So it was cool to see Steve Kerr do that.
Yeah, I wondered about Steph being invited and about Barack Obama. And I think Michelle are going to talk tonight. He's obviously tight with Barack. Just seeing on social media where Steph is, I don't think he's in Hawaii, but he is somewhere tropical enjoying beach life after what he did in the Olympics and the gold medal game and the semifinal game, which we'll talk to Marcus because he was over in Paris. He wasn't actually there for the gold medal game against France, but I'm sure he heard it and the reaction of everybody just watching and what Steph, and he knows Steph so well. But the Warriors are going to Hawaii for training camp, and they've gone tropical before. I remember my first year with the Warriors in 86, 87, we went to Santa Barbara for training camp, and a lot of it was just to have preseason games with the Lakers. And then the Lakers, we were trying to battle the Lakers for Hawaii, and we did go to Honolulu for training camp a couple of times. That's where I saw Eck give up the home run to Gibby in 88, was in Hawaii at a Warrior training camp. This one's a little different, John, because they're going there, and they're not playing a game there. they're coming right back to play preseason games. So as Tim Kawakami was saying, they're going to be there like a week, and training camp in the NBA is so consolidated. You don't really, it's not like spring training in baseball or NFL training camps. So I do wonder what they're doing, maybe because they have new guys on the team this year. But you go away just to bring everybody together and not, you know, to avoid distractions. But normally you go there and you play in a preseason game or two. They're not going to play any games. They're going to go there for a week and then turn back and come back and play preseason games here in California.
Let's talk more about all of it with Marcus Thompson, who's been on the track beat. We'll ask him all about being in Paris. And like I said, that 100 meters was historic, won by Noah Lyles. So we'll get into that and a lot of Warriors talk with Marcus, who I haven't talked to in a while. We'll do it next, only here on these.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What makes a Carnival cruise fun? A picture-perfect beach day in Cozumel, or a tropical adventure to Mayan ruins with snorkel excursion for good measure. A delectable surf and turf at sea, topped off with craft cocktails at Alchemy Bar. Now, get some Z's. You never know what tomorrow will bring. Why? Because no one does fun like Carnival. Carnival, choose fun.
Ships Registry, Bahamas, Panama.
Sports Leader.
Dub Nation, filter out the noise and kick it with KNBR on the gram for everything blue and gold. Follow the Sports Leader on Instagram at KNBR.
Durant, back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team.
There's our guy Noah with the golden dagger. We got that, plus some Noah Lyles, Marcus Thompson in Paris. A lot of stuff. And we haven't talked to him forever, so we just like talking to Marcus. At Thompson Scribe, make sure you're checking him out and reading all his great stuff. In The Athletic, Marcus Thompson joins us courtesy of the UMA Guest Line. What's happening? What have you been up to, man?
Yeah, you won't be reading my stuff anytime soon. I'm on break.
Yeah, you should be on break. Jeez.
Yeah.
You got a lot
I wrote
of stuff.
40
there,
stories man. In 9 days. Track and field is amazing, but it's also insane how fast everything is. Like it's unbelievable.
Still in Europe? Are you back? Or when did you get back? Where are you?
I got back on Wednesday, so I'm home now. I'm still jet lagged, though. I still feel like I still wake up in the middle of the night looking for a croissant.
Can't get them like there.
Oh, man.
You mentioned the speed of it. Just when watching Noah Lyles, and even in the 200 meters, when he turned the corner and came down, and he didn't wind up winning that, but in the 100 meters, and I know, you know, Usain Bolt and going back to Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis, I mean, it just seemed like it was a blur. First of all, the 100 meters was such a great race because it went right down to the end, and the you know, runner from Jamaica was right there. I mean, when you're watching it live, is it watching it on TV, it's just like they're a blur. Like you've never seen anybody run that fast. What was it like watching it live?
Yeah, that's how it felt, right? It definitely felt like, especially that field was so fast. They were all together. So it was like you knew you were watching something that you don't see that often. I mean, the guy ran a 9.91 and finished last. Like that would have meddled for most of like Olympic history. So it was insane. They had a lot of drama buildup, a lot of before it, a lot of hype, like lights on the field. I mean, they really treated it like an NBA Finals game. So, you know, at how it works is the race ends and then everybody automatically looks at the board because the board gives you the unofficial times first, right? So you get to see kind of how it was. And that board literally said all photo, right, which meant it was a photo finish. So you just never see anything like that where you don't know. You have no idea who won. So then the entire stadium is waiting to find out the official results. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. But France doesn't believe in central air or elevators, apparently.
No, but, the lift. So, no, they don't believe in that. Yeah.
So we had to go. The media seats was on the fourth floor. The interviews were on the floor zero. It was 91 steps. I feel like my calves are like Ray Allen's now, up and down the steps all game. You had to go down there and then come back up and then go down and come back up. So it was exhausting. But those flashes of, like, that's the thing about track. It's literally like a hit of sugar straight to the vein. Like, it's happening right now. And then there's a break. And then it's happening again. Like, it's insane. It's fun. It's really fun, though.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that probably as much as anything in watching the Olympics from the they had the different heats in there. All these guys were running fast. A bunch of former champions were in there. Like you said, the 991 was last. And then, like you said, there was a lean versus who was first, but it's the lean. And, I mean, it's just – I just thought the whole thing was cool. And, you know, Noah Lyles put the pressure on himself. I thought that was some of the coolest drama that maybe we've ever seen and just how good that field was, that final field was.
One of the best things was watching Sydney McLaughlin-Livroni run. I mean, she is spectacular. It's like watching Steph play basketball. I mean, there's nobody even close to her. I mean, she's like Mike Tyson before a fight. You ever watch her face before she runs? Like, she's ready to fight. Like, everybody's smiling, waving at the camera. She's like, yeah, no, don't get the camera on my face. And then she just takes off. And it's not even close. It looks like she's on, like, a hovercraft or something. It's really one of the coolest things I've seen. Like, I was like, yo, she's really, like, special. She might be the greatest of all time, which was the only benefit I got from being there the night Steph goes crazy. Because I'm like, at least I got to watch Sydney, because I'm in, like, the media area, like, sweating like crazy down there. It's hot, no air conditioning. I'm looking at my voice going, 1,000 media
take
members from across the nation.
Take,
I know, right?
Chocolate
I need
croissant.
One.
You'll be good. You'll be good.
I haven't had enough butter in my system the last 3 days. So. yeah,
you mentioned
crazy.
Steph. I know you weren't there for the gold medal game and you wrote about it. Did you watch any of Team USA? Were you so track and field, you know, centric? Did you watch the Serbia game live? Did you watch any of them?
I didn't watch any of it. I was locked in on track. And mostly I didn't want to have FOMO, so... I was like, forget USA basketball. I don't even care. I'm on the relay team.
Did you so watch the replay? Though, did you watch it back on?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Nate, afterwards, I went and watched it. Yeah. So when Steph is going off, like my phone goes crazy. So we're literally covering track, and everybody's like, you know, it's just buzzing. It's like, oh, what is Steph doing now? During the Serbia game, it was going crazy, and I'm like, I'm not there. I'm like waiting on these interviews from these track people. So I was trying not to get into that because I was focused on track, but it was insane on the replay. So I can only imagine what it was like live. I mean, we've seen it before, just not on this stage, on this magnitude with like LeBron and KD on the court with them. From talking to people who were there, we had David Aldridge there, Sam Amick. It was just a surreal one of those moments. That just doesn't happen very often, and it probably won't happen again with Steph. So I was kind of bummed about missing it. But, hey, I got to watch Sydney run, so I'm all good.
Yeah, that's cool. So what? How do you put this? Everybody wants to assess or put this into legacy or where this shot ranks or that flurry at the end ranks. Where do you put all that stuff in terms of Steph and that performance in that, well, the last couple of games, but specifically that fourth quarter?
I mean, to me, if I were to assess it, like, I think it's just harder to win the NBA Finals, right? So nothing really tops Boston to me. but it's up there. But I think to Steph, it's way up there. Like, to Steph, it might be the greatest thing he's ever done because look who he's on the court with. Look at the stage he's on. He's 36. He probably at some point thought he would never get to do this because injuries kept him out of the Olympics. So for him to be 36 and still able to do that and do it with LeBron and KD, like, you know, it means the world to him. So from his perspective, it's way up there. As someone would say, I mean, all right, it's Evan Fournier, Nick Batum. Let's calm down. But
still,
I think
they got.
I mean, I agree with you.
Oh, come on.
No, it was an incredible shot. But like Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and them. And
yeah.
I feel it though. In Boston, in France, like I get it. Like it was there. To me, the cool thing was who he did it with. Like I mean, LeBron and KD are wide open, and Steph is like, "Yeah, nah, I'm cooking. Let the chef work."
He left
like,
KD to go double Curry. It's like, what are you doing? Who does that on the strong side? Oh my God!
It's unbelievable how they like—they were just like get off of KD, the greatest USA basketball scorer of all time. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
So you wrote about this. So what was it like? And the other side of it was he did it against Serbia, which was amazing. But the gold medal game, and he made four threes the last 2:47 of the game to win, and he did it against Team France in Paris. So what was Paris doing at that moment when Steph went on the ultimate Curry flurry?
That's the part that was so unique. It's like, it was almost like Paris, who in many ways you could tell like American culture has its impact there, right? There's a lot of stuff there. I've never seen so much Tommy Hilfiger in my life, right? It was like they like American things, but some of this stuff is so unique to us. And that's where to me it felt like, okay, Paris got to experience this thing that we know really well. Because, you know, you if you're in Chase or remember or in Oracle, there's nothing like when Steph is going crazy. Like, you just – like, you can see it on TV all you want to, but you got to be in the building to really get that sense. And you could tell that Paris, like, appreciated getting that sense. And people were talking about it, like, even the next day. It's like, oh, Steph and Curry, did you see Steph? And, like, they got to experience this very uniquely American thing. Like, you just don't – get to see all the time, even at a USA basketball level, it doesn't happen. Like, as great as LeBron is or KD, they don't just get the chance to score 30 all the time or go and get hot. And it doesn't happen. So this international stage got to experience what a Steph explosion is like. And we know it, like, it's still hype for us and we've seen 100 of them. So imagine what it's like when you take that first hit, you know what I'm saying? I don't get high, but I heard the entire highness is chasing that first hit. Like, it's like you had that first one and you followed it. You're trying to get it back. Paris had its first hit of Steph, and they'll never get another one.
Not like that one, for sure. In terms of, you know, I don't even know if you're into these kind of things, but Mark Spears was saying maybe that just because it was on such a big international stage like that, that Steph has kind of hopped over LeBron in some way. Is that, would you buy that?
Yeah, I don't really have any interest in those ranking games. Right. To me, the ranking stuff, like, misses the point. LeBron, Steph, and KD just showed out on the international stage for America. Like, forget the rankings. They're all one in that situation. I mean, but KD, USA basketball KD, like, that's the thing. USA basketball KD, you just aren't getting better than that. Like, other than, like, Carmelo is the same way. It's like the Carmelo of the NBA is different than the Carmelo of Team USA. So, if you want to say, like, Steph, that puts him in the pantheon of USA basketball, but that's just a different level of basketball. To me, what Steph did was very significant to Steph and his legacy and what he's about. He was always meant to be Team USA. How he was raised, what he stands for, how he plays, it embodies Team USA basketball. So to me, the most important thing is that he got to experience it. He got to show the world what he could do on that stage. And, like, there's nothing when he finishes, he won't be able to say he's done. He's done it all now. And he's had a full career, and that's the perfect cap to it.
You know, it was amazing. And the last two games, Serbia game with a 17 in the first quarter, he saved him. And then, obviously, the gold medal game. But he didn't shoot the ball well. He played well throughout. But the first four, Durant, LeBron was just superb in every game. But Durant, coming off the bench in the Serbia game, it wasn't a knockout game. It was the first game against the Joker, but he just went off. And to me, the joy of watching Steph Curry and Kevin Durant play together, and the way they play together, and the way they're playful together, and the joy and the interaction, my mind went there again. And it goes there periodically with this guy. Never should have let him go, but it's, you know, KD was searching for something. Do you think it ever happens again? Because they are so beautiful. You talk about a smaller player and a bigger player. We've had so many great combinations in history, but these guys with their skill level on the offensive end, I'm not sure we've had better guys to complement each other. Do you think at some point before they're done, Kevin Durant plays with Steph Curry again?
I'm so with you. Like, 1,000%. That stood out so much. It made me feel like, yo, what did we miss out on when they split? Like, can you imagine if they had stayed? They are so good together. So good together that we feel like we lost something. But because of what happened in the Olympics, I don't think it'll happen. I think they're smart enough to know, like, let it end this way. Maybe if that doesn't happen, you could try to figure out and get this love fest together. But that was almost perfect. The way that happened, and you could see nobody was happier for Steph than Kevin Durant. Nobody kept, like, hugging him and cheering him on like Kevin Durant. I almost think this means they like, yeah, nah, let's leave it alone. Last time ended poorly. We've got the ending that we want. So let's just leave it at that. I almost feel like that's how they walk away. That's what Team USA Basketball is in many ways. It's their one chance to be together. So I think this hurts their chances, to be honest, because it was too perfect. It was ideal.
It's a good way to put it. You going to go chill in Hawaii for a week with the Warriors?
I don't know about that, but if the chill in Hawaii for a week might happen, but with the Warriors part is where I might be.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for pods yet. I'm sorry.
I hear you, man. Good point. Yeah, you need
some
rest.
We gotta get a tan out of that boy. Yeah, Pajemski needs to lay and play out there in Honolulu.
Hey, man, good stuff the whole way. Your writing is always great, but that was tremendous to follow along and all the way back, man. Eugene, all that stuff, man. You've been on this beat for a long time, so well done by you.
I miss y'all. Now I'm ready for Brandon Ayuk. Let's go.
Let's go, man.
Go to the left bank. We'll tee you up in the left bank in Oakland.
Yeah. Left bank. Let's do it.
You got to go there.
You're the man.
Welcome home, brother.
Thanks, Marcus. Talk to you soon, man.
Y'all.
Yeah, take care. That is the great Marcus Thompson. Make sure you're following. And he did. He did a tremendous job during the Olympics. Not on what he normally does, but I'm telling you, go back to Eugene and all that stuff. He did a great job with the track, just to show you he can write about anything. He's tremendous. All right, top of the hour, about 13 minutes away. We give you the foreplay, the four pieces of sound you need to hear. Have we played the sounder yet? Have we played the sounder? And Danny just shook his head no. So we got the top of the hour. Top of the hour until that Tim Ryan sounder comes, and you have an opportunity to win two tickets to every home 49ers game. So make sure that you and a $50 gift card to the 49ers team store. So keep staying tuned, and you can win that. All right, foreplay in 12 minutes.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store or at mybobs.com.
Esports Theater.
Papa and Lund continue live from the KNBR Casino Matrix Progressive Jackpot Studios. Casino Matrix. Progressive jackpots are here. Where are you? Just drop in. Please play responsibly. 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, friends. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're doing tremendously well. We have a foreplay for you at the top of the hour. We're going to split it up between the Giants and the 49ers. Little Bob Melvin for you post-game yesterday. Matt Chapman talking about his 20th home run that he hit. Little Matt Maiocco, too, getting you cut up on wide receivers from Ricky Pearsall to Jacob Cowings. We'll talk to you about that in about 5 minutes. I got a great story for you from over the weekend. So, you know, I moved my kid into his new house, and so they have a big party, which, of course, I'm not invited to. My dad's like, yeah, or my son's like, yeah, you got to get out of here. We got people coming over in an hour. So I was like, you know, I'm there to pay the bills. I'm there to help them with stuff. But then, you know, the party comes. I don't get any part of that.
You can't love you blue, shotgun a beer, and cannonball off the diving board?
Guess not. He's like,
you moved him in all day, yeah. Got kicked out at night?
Got kicked out for the party. So, but I did get, I don't know if I'm going to call this sweet justice, but this is pretty funny. So then yesterday I meet him for breakfast and I go, what's the deal? Cause he orders like,
I know the spot, the same spot you went to every day of the Super Bowl.
That was so good. That place was so good. Exactly. Same spot. They got like four or five of those. So he orders like a big thing of pancakes and bacon and egg. He orders like basically one of everything off the menu. I go, what the hell, man? I go, why are you so
hanging? He was hanging.
Yeah. And I said, why are you so hungry? And he goes, what happened was, he goes, we had a guy in the house, must have had dad's credit card or something. We had a guy in the house, and he said he ordered like $200 in DoorDash worth of Taco Bell. But I've never seen this. he somehow checked meatless for the whole order. So they ordered tacos, burritos, all this kind of stuff. And he just wanted tacos. And if there was like, I don't know, 30 tacos ordered or something. And none of the tacos had meat. He had checked accidentally a box.
What did they have? Just cheese?
They had cheese, lettuce, and tomato.
So avocado in there at all?
The whole thing was meatless. He had checked a box that I didn't know you could check.
It wasn't a cantina? Did they send any tequila?
No. I told him about the cantina. I'm like, you need the cantina. But, yeah, every single thing of, like, this $200-plus order of Taco Bell was meatless. And so he ordered tacos. And they came with just lettuce, tomato, and cheese. He goes, I ate them, but he goes, I can only eat like two. He goes, they were terrible. There was no meat.
So he was loading up on protein at breakfast. I want the ham and the sausage and the bacon.
He was pissed because he was like, I had him and put some hot sauce on him and stuff. But he goes, it just wasn't the same because I was still hungry when I went to bed. And so we ordered like half the menu. I'm like, why are you so hungry? And he's like, my roommate ordered meatless Taco Bell. I'm like, what are you
doing? First of all, $200, even if it was loaded with carne asada? I don't know. What's the order for $200?
Fast food's gotten expensive, man.
For $200?
I don't know. That's what he said. He goes,
was the delivery charge?
Maybe some of that. But he goes, he spent like $200.
How many people did he feed?
I mean, he said it was like their opening party at their house. And so there's six guys that live in the house. And then... And all these other kids, but anyway, meatless. I've never heard of meatless. I didn't know that there was even a button you could or a check mark you could make, like make this all meatless. I didn't know that existed.
Well, of course you can, but why would you do it?
Right, exactly.
Not doing that.
Meatless. Anyway, that would be bad.
You got kicked out of the party. I would have shown up. Kidding me?
I know. Yeah, I did.
You moved him in, and then Dan's not cool enough to hang?
Well, not only that, it was, driving all around all these places, secondhand store. We had to buy a desk and a bed and all the different things for your room and all this different stuff, spending all this money, running around. Of course, I had to take a lunch that day. And then it's like, 6 o'clock, party starts at 7.
Scram, Dad.
Yeah, he's
go
like, get out.
Scottsdale and watch Trey Lance play football.
Well, that's what I did. I was one of those guys. I'm comfortable with it, but some people aren't. Where you just belly up to the bar, you don't know anybody, and I just had tacos and tequila, and I was like, except for this guy
did
next.
Did you
to
have
me.
Meat in your tacos?
Oh yeah, they were good. I was in Old Town. It was good.
You're an herbivore, but you are a carnivore.
Oh no doubt. The only thing that was annoying was this guy next to me, and I wish I didn't start this conversation. He starts telling me about Mezcal. He was the Mezcal expert. And if you try this one and you try this, I'm just like, I'm watching the Raiders and Cowboys.
Did you order one?
Just want to have a talk. Yeah, he was like, order one for sipping. I'm like, I don't sip tequila. Like, I shoot tequila. Tequila is not a sipping liquor to me. Now, to some people it is. But to me, you shoot that, you fire a lime in there, and you're like, gah!
You would have fit in much better at George's party.
I know.
Bring him a bottle of Cuervo.
Jeez.
And don't hang with that guy. So you were watching the Cowboys and the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Cardinals were playing the Dodgers at that very same time. And that's it. We got breaking news that Brandon Crawford, huh?
Brandon Crawford has been released, which means that final series of the year that we were debating whether he was going to make it to, he will not. He will not be in that final series against the Giants.
Which means, like he took the advice last year from Marty Lurie, the final series of the year against the Dodgers on October the 1st, they treated it like Brandon Crawford Day. And so now he's been released. I mean, in reality, we're in August. It's August 20th. Brandon Crawford has had 80 plate appearances all year.
That's brutal.
I mean, how did he hang on the roster? And that guy Wynn that's playing shortstop for them is really good.
That young kid, yeah, he is.
Yeah, so, I mean, is this the way his career ends? Hitting 169, playing 28 games, hardly playing at all, getting 80 plate appearances. How much they pay him?
$2 million? I think it was $2 million,
right? I think it was. Well, that's worth it. But that's the way.
He's got like 19 kids. He's got to support
them. Will any good team that's going to play in October – would the Atlanta Braves pick him up and play him at third base now that Austin Riley is out? Would they do that?
They picked up Gio Urshela. Remember the former Yankee? They picked up Gio.
Yeah, we saw him recently. Gio's on their roster. He played against the Giants recently. But is he a third baseman, Urshela?
Yes.
Craw could play third.
He could. But, I don't know that that's going to happen. I think this might be the end of the line for him.
Did he ask for the release, or did Mozeliak just say?
No, I think they just said.
Well, he's been up 80 times all year. Yeah. Come on.
He's pitched this year again, so he did pitch. But
well, bring him in as he can pitch a lot better than Yastrzemski. You have to do that.
God, that was brutal.
That was difficult to watch. That was...
Yeah, if you're going to tell me to throw 45-mile-an-hour Ephus pitches, I'm not going to the mound. Come on.
Craw or Pablo could do that. Yeah. So is that it? Ooh. Is the way Brandon Crawford's career ends?
Walter just said he pitched better than Robbie Ray. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts.
Technically, he did that.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, the Giants aren't bringing him back for any reason.
No,
that would
but
be the only
somebody
reason.
Else, with the Dodgers, they have enough shortstops now.
Well, they let your guy go.
Nick Ahmed.
Yeah, they let him go. But
I don't think they need him. But would the Braves pick him up?
I think he might be done.
He could play third. He was playing third. Well, the game against the Giants and Rick Wood, he started at third base that night.
He did.
First time he played any position but shortstop in his career. So give him one last October.
Is he going to be on? Is he going to be added to the NBC Sports Bay Area Giants pre and post game roster?
Oh, maybe not this year, Crawford. Next year. You can be sure of that.
Yeah, he will be at some point.
He'll be on the all hair team. Contos and Estes will be.
Oh, they're going to. That's going to. Well, they'll, you know what? I'm going to say something that nobody I don't think has ever said. His hairline's going back a little bit. Does he need a do-rag on all the time. Is he going to wear that in studio?
Cover up. The old line was, a little dab will do you back when we were kids.
Right.
Oh, it's a little do will do you.
Yeah.
Why do you think LeBron played with that on forever?
Exactly.
He had the thickest headband ever. LeBron just gave up with that.
I don't know what he was doing, man. It looked like sometimes he did have some fake hair in there, and then he didn't, and I don't know what was going on with him. Anyway, all right, that is the latest. Yeah, Brandon Crawford won't be in that final series. That's what happens when you get released. So we did not play the fancy opening. Let's get to it. It is Pop in London, KBR, AM and FM, San Francisco, the Sports Leader, Cumulus Media Station. It's foreplay time.
Four. Time for some foreplay with Papa in Lund.
I'm Dirk Diggler.
Four chunks of audio that really get you going.
I have a gift, and I am trying to not be selfish about it, but to use it.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, let's start with some Giants for you. They get a 5-3 win, a little bit of a nail-biter. Looked like it was going to be a no problemo, and then Jordan Hicks arrived on the scene. What is it with the ninth-inning guys? Ryan Walker's been fine, and he's available tonight. So we should.
He got through it. He started a game, and he saved a game. Yeah. He got through it.
Here is Bob Melvin, though, speaking of the starter, saying Kyle Harrison looked more comfortable pitching last night than he had in his previous couple of appearances.
Good, really good again tonight. So, you know, after a couple of bad, tough ones on the road, came back home, and seems like he's pretty really comfortable pitching here. You know, whether it's out over the plate and giving up some fly balls or whatever, just feels a little, you know, senses that, you know, it's a good place for him to pitch, and, you know, his velocity kind of remained the entire game out there.
What did you think? He finally looked a little better.
Well, his last start at home against Atlanta, his velo was back. Mm-hmm. But he just did not have command of the fastball at all. And mainly whenever he's on the mound, we're always looking arm side command. But, you know, watching the game with George Contos and Sergio, they were kind of amazed that he had such lack of command in. So he just could not command his fastball. And he pitched decently that night. They wound up losing the extras. But the velocity was back. It was not there on the road trip in Cincinnati and then the rain game in Washington. And it's not always just you're tired and you're at the pitch limit and all that. It could be mechanically. He wasn't snapping the whip, as Krug says. So he was back last night. That little slurvy breaking ball, that slider that he's got, has been a good pitch and a changeup. So he has a way of getting through it. I think sometimes we just – does not have to always be perfect. Like Lincecum, his pitches ran all over the place, and he just blew guys away. He gave up one run last night. He pitched well. So now it's on to Robbie Ray, and Robbie Ray's got the same problem. What's he going to do in the first inning, John? He's got to lock in, and then the day game will be tomorrow. Logan Webb. But I think what Bob has been saying about Kyle Harrison's true about Logan. He pitches better at home, not as well on the road, which is also true of the Giants. They play a lot better at home than they do on the road. So It'll be a big start for Robbie Ray. But Kyle had his velo back last night. He's had a really good rookie year. When you look at his numbers overall, and he went on the IL just one time through, but basically he's made every start. This has been a very impressive first full year in the major leagues for him.
And no doubt about it. From the pitching to the hitting, Matt Chapman hit his 20th last night, and he says to him it's a big deal.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely – It feels good to get 20. You know, I know last year wasn't able to do that, but you know, to be able to get 20 homers and, you know, in my opinion, 5 out of the, you know, 6 years I've played in the big leagues, full seasons, because COVID didn't really count, and so did, you know, my rookie year, I didn't play a full season, but being able to put up 20 home runs, something I take pride in, is playing defense and being able to drive the baseball. Last year, you know, was kind of a year, you know, little bit of a down year, but hurt my hand a little bit. So I had, you know, I wanted to come back with something to prove that, you know, I still am able to produce for the team and help teams win baseball games. So yeah, it definitely feels good.
20 home runs, 30 doubles, and 10 plus stolen bases. He has 11. So early in the season, and he had been inconsistent. The defense is always there, but by far, you got to say that you got to give Farhan credit. Did do it late, and you know, maybe got off to a little bit of a slow start. But Matt Chapman has been as advertised and a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, his first full year in the bigs, he had 24 homers. 2019, he had 36. The COVID year, and he only played 37 games. The whole baseball played 60 that year. Only played 37. He had 10. And then his final year with the A's was 27. And we told you about the hip injury during the COVID year, and he had a hard time with the high fastball, but he still had 27 that year. Last year, the hand injury in Toronto, 17. So this year, 20 with 31 doubles, the 12 steals, great year. When the year started, we thought the Giants are a lock to have a 30-homer year from somebody, right? First one since 04 and Barry, and 2021, Brandon Belt got close with 29. We thought with Jorge Soler power, we'd have at least one guy hit 30. It's going to continue, John. Matt Chapman leads the Giants with 20 home runs. He's not going to hit 30, is he?
No.
Elliot Ramos didn't come up really till May. Who's going to lead the Giants in home runs? We always do that every year. We kind of didn't do it this year because we thought Jorge Soler.
I didn't think it was going to be a debate.
What, 11 while he was here? He had 11. So, I mean, is Chapman going to lead the team in home runs? And when are they going to have a 30 home run hitter again?
Bryce Eldridge, I don't know if a lefty can, I mean, bonds it, but man, being a
lefty.
Tyler
Fitzgerald next year.
Yeah, maybe, because being a lefty in this park and hitting 30, unless you're Barry Bonds, that is a tough order. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. Just, man, it's such an amazing streak that they haven't done it. You're just like, wow. Because I remember
the left field streak since Bonds left.
Oh, my God. That's going to change.
If you put Elliot Ramos in left field next year.
Maybe he'll get 2 in a row.
And he's your everyday left fielder, and then he hits 30 homers. He single-handedly could break both Bond streaks.
He could. He absolutely could. But, yeah, it's going to be a new one next year as well. It was Conforto to start the season, wasn't it? He opened the season.
He made a nice catch last night coming in.
Yeah.
I do debate myself about Conforto, bringing him back, but I think it's time to move.
Yeah. All right, let's flip it over to some football. Matt Maiocco was on with Tolbert and Copes and talked about Ricky Pearsall and just what we heard today. Pearsall's not going to practice this week, which means he's not going to play in the preseason. Here's Matty.
Well, I think the first time you see Ricky Pearsall is probably going to be September 9th. I don't think that they would rush him back and say, hey, get in there, play in a preseason game. I think they have a pretty good idea of what they got in him.
Okay, so...
Well, I mean, are we definitely going to see him? See, what he's saying is the opener against the Jets.
Right.
I don't know. He has not fielded a punt in the NFL. I mean, he looks like he could do it. He's the most natural catcher of a punt or a football probably on the team.
But you want his first NFL punt returns in a game to be against the Jets on Monday Night Football?
Yeah,
I don't.
I mean, I think he can do it. It's up to Kyle, and it's up to Leonard Hankerson. I mean, the way Jacob Cowing looked the other night, as we were saying, we don't want to overreact. And Cowing had some bad snaps. Baldy's breakdown, first snap, they all fell down.
Right.
Going out, Taylor and him. But I think he, you know, right now he looks good. I mean, who do you give a jersey to? Pearsall or Cowing on opening night? Assuming they're on the roster as two of your six wide receivers. I don't know. And then we can't just assume that he's going to get over the shoulder and be able to play. we're talking less than 3 weeks. I mean, what exactly did he do to the shoulder? It's lingered now for a little bit of time here. I think it's been, what was it, like August the 6th? So it's 2 weeks ago today that he first hurt the shoulder. Will he be completely healthy? And really, it's 2 weeks from Thursday, John, when it's installation day, and he's got to practice. He's got to go back and be around his teammates and be able to take part in that practice, and it'll be a Monday night game, so they won't do it Wednesday. It'll be Thursday, September the 5th, when the night the Chiefs play the Ravens. It'll be the first day of a real installation day to get ready for the Jets. If he's not back by that practice, then I think it's debatable if he even makes September the 9th.
All right, speaking of wide receivers, we were talking about this as part of Papa's playbook today when you did a great breakdown of Jacob Cowing. Here is Mayoko talking about possibly the final receiver spot coming down to either Cowing or Trent Taylor. Here's what Maddie said.
Yeah, well, I don't think Trent Taylor needs to return kicks because they know what they got in him. I mean, they know what they got. I would say now, after watching last night and seeing how the practices have gone in recent weeks since Cowing came back, the issue with Cowing was if he can look comfortable fielding punts, then, you know, off the legs of NFL punters, then the 49ers would go with him. You know, if it's close, you know, it goes to the rookie who has the 4.38 speed and the guy who's young and brings a lot more to the table. So after last night and just kind of seeing how they approached it and how Cowing really stepped up when the lights were on, yes, it's a preseason game. I realize that, but still you're catching balls in an NFL stadium. He's feeling pressure because he knows he has to, you know, this was kind of a regular season game for him because he knew that he had to come through. So now the way I would look at it would be the most likely event would be that Cowing's your five. So the five guys, and again, this is if Brandon Ayuk's on the team. Cowing's your five. You suit up five receivers for games. Cowing will handle the punts. And then Trent Taylor, you're going to keep him in the building, but he's probably going to be on the practice squad.
You think Trent Taylor makes it through the practice squad? I mean, that's what all those things are, right?
You know, quarterback, receiver. I think, you know, Tennessee brought in, they have DeAndre Hopkins there. They brought in Calvin Ridley, and they brought in Tyler Boyd from Cincinnati. So, he would be a fourth, fifth, or sixth and a punt returner. So, obviously, Brian Callahan likes him. Cincinnati, they got Trenton Irwin there, T. Higgins, and a few other receivers on that team. Jamar, obviously. I don't know. I think there's a chance you could cut Trent Taylor and get him back in the practice squad. But what Matt's talking about is Jacob Cowing being able to field a punt. Hell, he did it at Levi's in the wind, and it was windy Sunday night. The Saints rolled out a right-footed punter on one kick and came back with a left-footed punter on the other. And then you get a completely different deal going inside the dome of Las Vegas on Friday. And A.J. Cole is one of the best punters in football, the Raider punter. So, and the first thing Brian Schneider wants is just catch the ball. So on punt, and then you know he can do something with it after, obviously. But he got to secure.
Or don't
the
let
ball,
it hit so. Somebody's foot or leg.
So okay, jumped over a looter.
Sorry about that.
Ray, be a muff diver. I know what you're talking about. Then the thing would be getting back to Pearsall. Pearsall can return punts, and he's the best catcher of the punt than anybody. So if he's able to get over the shoulder, then maybe you don't need Cowing up on game day. I think when he's talking five and six, I think Conley is your five. Assuming Pearsall's up, John, and then it would be, you know, Cowing or Pearsall would be in the battle. But I think Chris Conley's up on game day. He's such a good gunner, and he can play anywhere, X, F, or Z wide receiver if somebody gets hurt in the game.
All right, there you go. That is your foreplay. A couple from the Giants, a couple from the 49ers. We'll give you a quick preview of tonight's game against the White Sox still to come. We got a great Caboose pistol for you today as well and some remnants in this hour before Tolbert and Copes at the top of the hour. It's Pop and Lund only here on the Sports Eater.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Guitarist Steve Howe of Yes on the making of Fragile, the birth of Prague.
I was trying to think about playing the guitar without any blues cliches. The golden rule on the Yes album is there would be no do-do-do-do-do-do.
And that was what ended up making it quote-unquote progressive is if you ignore cliches, then you're headed forward.
That's right.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.